So, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
Welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. I hope everybody out there is well. I hope everybody out there is healthy. I hope everybody listening in is doing okay. I hope everybody out there who is not okay, I hope they're getting the help that they need. Or if they don't want any help, that's fine too. I just hope that they are not spreading this illness far and wide. It seems like that is the conventional wisdom is how we're going to be dealing with this, at least in the relatively near future. I miss you all very much, and I want to let you know that this is the first COVID-19 coverage we're doing here at Dispatches, but we're going to be trying to do a lot more episodes in the relatively near future, so please stay tuned to everything we're doing here. We know that there is a ton of opportunities for people to be entertained in a million different ways out there. We totally dig it. We're getting entertained by those things too, but we really feel like it's important for our community, for the punks out there, for the people of conscience out there, to be using this moment for some reflection, for some introspection, for just a little bit of time. Take a little bit of time to think about who we are and what we're doing out here, because a lot of big questions are up for us right now, and it's very confusing. And while we don't think we have all the answers here at Dispatch from the Underground, we do think we are struggling for and bringing forward perspectives that the mainstream media is most certainly ignoring and avoiding, and maybe even stomping out. And especially in this moment when everything is just turned to 12, everything is turned way past 11, way past 10, everything is just sort of like flashing in our face, this constant news coverage, this constant entertainment, we're all just getting it all flashed at us all the time, and we're so stressed out and tense. It's really important that our community not lose grip of what it is and who it is, and reflect deeply on what we want to accomplish, because there's some big questions that are up in the air, and the mainstream media is going to be projecting their mainstream answers. And it's important that underground artists and underground musicians and underground thinkers and underground folks who want to find a better world not fall in line with the mainstream bullshit that's getting pummeled upon us all the time. I know it's scary. I know it's tense. I know it's devastating even. And especially, look, we're here in the Queens quarantine here in New York City. It is fucking tense out here. The streets are tense. You can see it everywhere. You can literally see plastic gloves and masks strewn about in the streets here. People are walking around tense. They're ready for something. It's all kind of feeling like it's getting kicked off. And it's really important that we don't lose sight of who we are in these moments. Because I feel like the mainstream media, it's not even just them, but I feel like everything has been turned to a heightened state. And I think it's a really dangerous moment for us to be pummeled with all of these ideas and have all these big questions up and really be focusing on mainstream media and ignoring each other and ignoring the thoughts that we've all come up with because of the community that we've been part of. Look, we're not going to shows, right? Because there aren't any shows because they've all been canceled. And we're not seeing each other. We're not talking to each other in the way that we used to about life and challenges. And we're not seeing the struggle that we've seen every day. And it's even more important that we really plug into and stay in touch with our underground roots, because it's all getting blurred right now. And, you know, I know we're all in a Netflix haze and a Hulu fucking haze, and everyone's just like catching up on all the mainstream media that they've missed out on because they've been working like cats and dogs out there. I get all that. I'm not saying don't watch all that shit. It's just important that we realize and we reflect on and we think about and we try to take in more underground perspectives and not lose who we are, because in these moments, these questions are going to be posed to us very sharply. And the mainstream media and the capitalists and the government, they're all going to be posing answers to us about who we are in this moment. They're going to be posing them very sharply, right? If you're paying attention to the politics blogs and podcasts and newspapers, they're all talking about the flag effect and people rallying around the flag around Trump and the points that he's gotten from people being encouraged about their patriotism in this moment. And it's sweeping people away, right? People are getting swept up in the patriotism of making sure we're resolving this together. It's just fucking crazy. It's crazy. People are talking about wartime coverage and a wartime effect. It's super important that we're trying to listen to each other. And at a moment where we're all socially distant, as much as that phrase is sort of plagues me, we really need to be socially conscious more than ever. And it's important that we're not losing perspective at this moment more than anything else. So here in Dispatches, we're going to be digging down deep. We're going to be trying to do more episodes than ever. We plead with you to please share this and with your own perspectives about how you see things happening. Don't curl up into a ball. Don't just be overwhelmed by talking about Tiger King or whatever dumb fucking show is on TV that you're watching. Please make sure you're talking about your ideas and you're fucking listening to the ideas of the people around you, because that's what's really going to matter. And this episode, we're going to be talking about some of my own sort of roller coaster of ideas going through this. I mean, it's hard to even fathom the challenges people are dealing with. And the mainstream maybe touches on those challenges here and there, but they're not going to really dig down deep into the perspectives that are going to help us not only understand them, move past them and or at least deal with them consciously as much as possible. So I plead with you, please pay extra attention to the underground, pay extra attention to this show. We're going to be redoubling our efforts here and putting out as many episodes as possible, in the trenches, in the gutter, in the dark. We're just kind of feeling our way. But hopefully if we can get in touch with folks, we can get some glimpses of light from deep down in the underground. Ironically, when we most need community in this moment of crisis, we have to be socially distant. We can't be around each other. And punks and leftists and people of conscience, it's not like a normal community. We're not like geographically situated next to each other where we can easily just sort of like see each other at each other's homes or whatever else, or in each other's neighborhoods. We're more of a diaspora. We're spread all around the world in different places. And so it's even more difficult to hold on to each other in these moments because we're so physically separated from each other. It's even more important that we're plugged into each other's perspectives. So the main thing we're going to be doing here at Dispatch from the Underground is trying to get a fucking grip. Trying to get a grip on each other, trying to get a grip on our community, trying to get a grip on our thoughts, trying to get a grip on the underground, the pulse, the vibe, the mentality that has gotten us to this moment that it feels a little bit like is shaking because the moment is just putting so much pressure on all of us to think differently. And me too, you know, for sure, I have just been a fucking mess in this thing. And hopefully me talking about my bullshit ideas and anxieties and insanity is going to help other and why they're wrong or right or whatever, and listening to some other punks and their perspectives is going to help everybody just process things a little bit more. We obviously don't have all the answers here at Dispatches. That's precisely why we're doing this episode. We have some thoughts. We have some things we're reflecting on. We have some things we think are insightful for people to think about. Some mistakes, a lot of mistakes that we're making in our thinking that we're reflecting on very quickly. And we're also going to be talking to punks all around the world who have submitted some material for us to be talking about on this show to try and get their perspective too. People I agree with, people I don't agree with. We just want to hear from people. We want to stay in touch and we want to get a little bit more insight that's not just simply from our bubble and our social media networks, but still reflecting our overall outlook of being underground folks who are thinking critically about the world and wanting someplace better that the mainstream media just can't handle or understand or process or possibly take us to. So that's where we are. That's what we're going to be doing here in this show. We're going to be trying to get a grip, and I think we do a pretty good job of it on this episode. We have some folks who you may not have heard of and some folks you most certainly have heard of who are going to be contributing their thoughts and reflections at this moment. I asked some artists and some activists from all around the world to take a video of themselves at their homes as they're quarantined themselves or they're isolated themselves, and because of technological failures on our side, we can't exactly do interviews in the way we would like to. I asked them to take some videos of themselves and send them in based on some questions and some things that I had for them. Dick Lucas from the Subhumans and Culture Shock and Citizen Fish is in the United Kingdom, and he's going to be on at the end of the episode with some very insightful words for all of us. Chris Mann from Introspect, a California-based political punk band. Babette from the Union Thugs in Montreal, and an activist and artist friend from Milan, Italy. Victoria is going to be on the show as well to talk about things that are going on there and some reflections she has while really in the worst of it, even though it's getting a little bit better in Italy supposedly right now. But she said this message really at the worst days that things are going on in Italy, so we can get some insight to where our heads will be in the coming days here in the United States and wherever else we are as things get worse for us. Look, I needed to hear from these people. I think that they're going to have some very unique perspectives that you're going to want to hear. I think that they're going to incite some really critical thinking, some really deep reflection on all of our parts that we can have with the people who we're in isolation with. And I think we could spend a little bit of time reflecting on our own about the things that they're talking about and the things that come up in this episode. Look, my mind's been fucking racing, pretty wild thoughts, scary, depressing, utopian, uplifting, scattered, everything else. And I've decided that I need to lean on what has always been the most important to me. And that's other people, that's other people's perspectives, that's the underground culture that I have given my life to, that I love so much, that has always been there for me. And I think if we can really get down with our roots, not in like some New York hardcore way, but like get down to our roots of what we really are, it's going to pull us through the chaos of this moment and help us get a little bit clearer on the community that we have, who we really are, the direction where we wanted going, and the world we want to help bring into being. So that's what I did. I'm going to talk a little bit about my crazy ass thoughts throughout the episode as I sprinkle some of these conversations that were shared with me as well. I hope that it brings some things worth reflecting on for you. I hope there's some it ignites you to participate. I would love to hear from everybody. You can email me at dftunderground@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on Instagram. I would love to hear some more feedback from people all around the world about what they're thinking, the thoughts that are going through their heads, and where they're at. We'll have more about that at the end of the episode, so stick around to the end of the episode and we'll go more into how people can participate in this process and the reflections they're having and whether it's not it's worth my time and stress to be doing this show right now as all these other things in my life and that are happening are falling apart and whatever else. For me, it was very healthy to do this. I think it's going to be healthy for you to listen to it and participate in it as well, I think. Obviously, we're still a punk podcast. Obviously, we're still going to be playing a bunch of fucking punk tunes on the show. We'll tell you those as they come up. We're going to listen to one right now, and then we're going to get to some thoughts and reflections, and then we're going to hear from all of these lovely voices from all around the world who are going to hopefully get our minds right. So let's get to it. Get down. All right, before we get to this first segment, I want to take a break. I want to listen to a tune. We're going to listen to a song from the Subhumans. Dick Lucas from the Subhumans, a singer of this band, is going to be on at the end of the episode talking about his reflections of this moment that we're living in. And this song is from the Subhumans. It's a song called No More Gigs. Couldn't be any more applicable to this moment that we're living in. So here's the Subhumans, No More Gigs. Get down.
Filled room. How's it going then? It's not going at all. We got no more gigs. You always knew.
So I want to be brutally honest with people on this podcast, because my thoughts have been pretty sporadic, pretty chaotic, and pretty horrible. And I don't feel like there's any reason to not be truthful about where I've been. And my initial thoughts when this all started to come down were like just pretty brutally petty, to be totally honest. And I'm pretty ashamed to say that. But I was afraid the things that I've been working on for so long, the tours that I'd been planning, the tours that I've been in, like personally, mentally, and physically, and, you know, everything else invested in, were going to fall apart. The money was just going to get lost. And it was just, I'm just really disappointed in my initial thoughts. You know, I like to think of my efforts to be conscious and my work to become a healthy, reflective radical keep me, or like mask me, if you will, from thinking these super petty thoughts. But it really didn't. It really, really did not. I wasn't grasping how the world had changed. I wasn't grasping how the situation had changed. I wasn't thinking about other people when I should have been. And, you know, underneath all that, I really think is how I had changed in all the time that I hadn't been being reflective enough and thinking about theory enough and like holding to my principles enough about who I really am, and made me realize that I'm not who I think I am, at least not enough. And so it made me, that sort of initial realization sent me into, I think, a little bit of a panic. And, you know, it's not like I'm aspiring to be some petty piece of shit. The world we live in pulls us to think selfishly. It discourages thoughts beyond the individual, and the gravity of every day just crushes us into thinking about ourselves and the small networks around us. And I don't mean to excuse all the, you know, all of my bullshit thinking, because there's no excuse for it. I think that, you know, I strive to be someone reflective who can get beyond that shit, but I didn't, you know, and I have not reflected and studied enough to work against the petty gravitational pull. I was surprised in my spontaneous reflection on this possibly worst crisis of our lives, or whatever. I don't know what to call it, but my spontaneous thinking was not what I wish it was. So that was my initial thoughts. And once I pulled myself together enough to realize that, you know, what a piece of shit I had been and was being, I realized that I needed to talk to some other punks. I needed to talk to some community members. I needed to talk to some friends and some artists and some allies, and just try to at least understand their perspective. If not, like, have a conversation about why I thought these dumb fucking thoughts that I did. You know, I needed to understand a little bit better about where their thinking was. Even if I don't fully agree with them, I thought that was important. And one of the first people that I hollered at was Victoria. She's a conscious and thoughtful young woman in Italy. She's an activist. Obviously, Italy is one of the hardest hit countries in the world. And I know Victoria is a thoughtful and reflective person. And I knew that she had been thinking about this a little bit longer than I had, because, you know, they were a few weeks ahead of us, or behind us. I don't know how you want to term that. And I felt like Victoria could help me get some perspective on the situation. So I hollered at Victoria, even though we aren't really close friends. I don't know her really well. I met her a few years ago when All Torn Up was touring Europe. I met her in Prague at a show. Her and her friend were just hanging out, and we ended up talking all night about immigrants in Milan and Italy and the situation they're faced with and the struggles they're dealing with and what she was doing as an activist in that community to deal with that problem. You know, I was curious to know how someone thoughtful was weathering the storm and the thoughts she was having, and hoped that she could help me get started on the right direction to have some healthy perspective on this as a conscious person. So here is Victoria from Milan, Italy, with her thoughts. Get down.
Hi, I'm Victoria. I live in Milan and I'm fine, fortunately. And fortunately, my friends and family are fine too. And how I'm holding up, it's a good question. I have to study, because I do art school, the public art academy in Milan here. And so I have to study for the exams. I don't know how I'm gonna do them, if online or what. But so that it's quite like, gives me a bit of routine and helps me to keep it up. But it's really difficult, because you have to stay always home, and like, your brain is not really clear. I miss the community. I miss the underground community. I miss my friends. I miss going to the concert, to the gigs. I miss, like, the fact that you could, you know, take a sip from any one glasses and not be afraid. I miss the fact that you could hug, that you could do going to the pit. I miss the fact that we were like super touchy, you know, like it's I miss that. And I am afraid that it's not gonna be like that when everything's finished. I have this feeling that people are gonna be super distant after this nightmare is over. I don't know what my community could do. I think that what we should do is like use super well the internet and maybe creating some kind of way to like psychologically be near to each other. And of course I thought about a lot of the fact that it's something that this virus, it's something that has to do with the fact that we are always closer and closer to the animals, and you know, we destroy their territory and the capitalism. It's like we the Lombardy, it's one of the most contagious zone, because they kept the factories open. So it's like, you know, I already knew that. I already had like my opinions against capitalism, but like I think now people are kind of opening up the eyes, and I really think that we should go into the streets and protest. There are some of my friends that are doing like solidarity brigades, and they go to help like old people. They give them like, they go to the supermarket for them, and they, you know, give them food. But they also have problems because you cannot find the mask, the protection mask. It's really difficult. They cost a lot. So I don't know. I hope this will finish, and we'll change. We will realize that we can do it even without, you know, the like destroying our planet. The air in Milan is clear now. You can breathe, and it's not so polluted anymore. So I think we should like really think a lot about the climate change right now, because the planet, there's like in February we had days that were like almost like 19 degrees, and Milan, it should be a cold city. So like right now it's cooler, and we should think about that.
I feel like when Vittoria talks about her brain not being clear, I feel like I can identify with that super well, and I feel like everybody out there can identify with that super well. But I do think there's a couple important things to like point out in her thinking, right? First of all, routine. Like, I don't know, for me, like when I was having a hard time like processing these ideas, I felt like getting down to the routine, like getting like going out and running and then just writing all day, writing songs all day, was really healthy for me to just step back from the crisis we were in and just focus on the moment that I needed to just do the thing I got to do. You know, my brain's not very clear. I'm really focused on my routine right now. That's exactly what a lot of folks are immersing themselves in, and I think it makes a lot of sense to just try to like feel some normalcy. But I do think that Vittoria's reflections are really insightful here. And I know we're all immersing ourselves in routine to try to like avoid the chaos of thinking about these huge fucking issues. But her reflections, I think, are really helpful, like missing physical contact, but also like the fear of how we're going to change through all of this in those ways that we're going to be relating to each other differently. I think those are really intense. And like when she stopped talking about her routine, like the first thing she jumped to was those fears. But if you listen to the rest of what she said, she actually had a lot of optimism in what she was saying. Like, she talked about, you know, how this could really open people's eyes. She talked about her friends that were involved in the solidarity brigades. She talked about how the sky and the temperature and you know, the health and well-being and the thoughtfulness of what people put into their bodies are all might change through this process. So like, on one side, she, you know, focused on the routine to like to clear up her mind and maybe avoid her first initial thought after that, which was the fear. But then she jumps right to the optimism. And I think a lot of that is for us, but it's like, you know, how do you control all these ideas? They're just coming at you at a million miles an hour, right? So getting control of those things. And I think some of that is intimidating us, so we stop reflecting and stop thinking about these things, just focus on the routine, just want it to get back to normal. And that might be fine for Vittoria, who's a bright, thoughtful artist and thinking about, you know, the world all the time. But like I said, the introduction of the segment, like me going back to the routine, I wasn't thinking in a healthy way. So like if I had just stayed in the routine place, I don't think I could have been able to function as well as Vittoria is able to function right now. So more power to her. I really appreciate her contributing her thoughts here. And I hope she stays safe and all of her friends and family stay safe and get the masks they need to continue to do the solidarity work they're doing. So thank you very much, Vittoria. I really appreciate your contribution. We're going to take a break real quick. We're going to listen to a tune. And since I met Vittoria while on tour with my band All Torn Up in Europe, we met in Prague, I thought it would be appropriate to play a song from All Torn Up. We have just put out a new record, a new 7-inch. It's available on our Bandcamp page, All Torn Up. Bandcamp.com. It's also available on the Dispatchers from the Underground merch section. The cover was done by Dick Lucas from the Subhumans, who you're going to hear from later. The recording we did with Pete from the Bouncing Souls in his studio in New Jersey. Here is our song, Catharsis and Regret. I wrote this song in part because I was sort of in a dark place and because I was having these sort of like fantasies about, you know, fucking up right-wing people. And I was focusing on it maybe too much. Look, I'm all for people fucking up right-wing pieces of shit. That's great. Destroy them. That's no problem. But it should be said that the main thing we should be doing is building up our communities, not fucking up their bullshit. Okay? So I'm playing this song in part because I was talking about this dark place that I was in before all this happened and during this. And this is part of where I was. So this song is about, it's about hurting fucked up right-wing pieces of shit and the fantasies and fun involved in that mentality. So it's called Catharsis and Regret. It's off our new record called Wake by All Torn Up. Get down. Look, I know a lot of people out there are scared I know that there's a real reason to be worried and concerned, and I know a lot of that fear that's being piled on us and sort of being fed to us in part by the mainstream media and by the leaders of this country, that sort of gets us all thinking about ourselves and our small circles and our mortality and sticking our heads in the sand. And I certainly, you know, that was my initial response. I don't think there's any shame in that. I think it's totally rational. I think it's totally reasonable. I think it's a natural thing for us in some ways to have that kind of response initially to these situations. And it certainly has been beaten into us to have that kind of response in these situations. And getting back to some sense of normalcy, some routine, helped me break out of that fucked up pattern that I was in. But I think that there are dangers with us becoming too comfortable with our routines as well. And when everything is changing or has the potential to change, I think we need to think coherently about this moment that we're in. And the routine can help us sort of get a grip of ourselves. And I think Victoria is really right to bring that up. But we also have to be looking at what this moment is without the panic, with clarity. When the panic subsides, when the routine is clearly not enough, when the comforts of Netflix or whatever else we're indulging in are not fulfilling, we have to do some sober confrontation over the reality. And that doesn't have to be a bummer. That doesn't have to be something heavy that's like painful to do. I think it's really encouraging to think about that possibility, especially given, I don't know, at least my life or a lot of other people's lives. I feel like there's a lot of fulfilling things that we can think about doing or changing through this situation that are sort of being up in the air. Look, this moment and the fallout of this moment can and will affect people's consciousness and capitalism. It's going to affect the way people think about things and how capitalism, the state of capitalism, functions. I'm really excited by all of this thinking. I'm really excited by this reshuffling. I know that there is a horrible situation happening, but I really do think this is an opportunity for us to think about all these things that before we really didn't have time to think about. But it's also an opportunity to see that the failures of capitalism are real and affect people's lives, even in this country, even in the wealthiest country in the world, and that they have absolutely no ability at all to make any long-term plans, that their interest is simply in the short term, the immediate profit realization. And I think this situation has made that clear to a lot of people. They see that, you know, their 401ks are gone, that there is instability built into this capitalist system where they thought that there wasn't before. Although I think, you know, maybe they thought there was some social service program, some entitlements, as they call it, ironically, that were going to save them from the failures of capitalism. But people are starting to realize that they don't really like the place that it's headed toward, and they didn't really like the capitalism in general. I think this is a really great opportunity. I'm really fucking excited to think about these things and to have everybody else think about those things. And that's, you know, for better or for worse, that's where my mind really is stuck. And I think a lot of other people aren't really thinking about this stuff. So I want to encourage people to think about these things in terms of capitalism and in terms of the state and in terms of the failures of capitalism. So I, you know, while I have some inability to move past this thinking, which is a totally valid criticism of me and where I am and how I'm looking at this situation, totally valid criticism, I do think it's important for people to be thinking about capitalism now more than before. And I think we should be spending a lot of time reflecting on these big ticket issues. And that was where my mind was at. And that's where my mind still is at, for better or for worse. And I wanted to reach out to someone I thought had a pretty similar perspective to me to see if I was crazy or totally off base. And so I reached out to Chris Mann from the band Introspect in Southern California. Introspect was on the show relatively recently. You can go back and check out the episode I did with Introspect where we went through all the thinking of the band and what they're doing. Chris and I have toured together. We spent a lot of time together, and I have a ton of respect for this guy. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I think other than the fact that he's an amazing guitar player, an absolutely fucking amazing guitar player and songwriter, he and I also kind of share the same outlook on how politics and music should coincide and how we see social change happening in our society and the need for it. And while we disagree on a ton of political issues, and he has terrible taste in fucking movies, which is pretty undeniable, he does run a fantastic podcast, by the way. Even though I have no respect for his taste in movies, he's amazing to talk with about movies. He runs a great podcast called The Grind Bin. People should check it out. It's a fantastic podcast that talks about really awful, terrible movies. But Chris is someone I reached out to initially because I really felt like he and I are on the same page of a lot of thinking. And we have a very similar perspective. And I wanted to see if I was totally out of whack with how I was looking at things, and because I was just so fucking frantically thinking about capitalism in this moment. And I've really felt like, all right, here's a guy that I think is thinking similar thoughts to me. He's living a life similar to I am, although he's much more successful and handsome than I am. But still, I feel like we have some similarities with each other. So here's Chris Mann. Get down.
Hey, Joey, I want to thank you for doing this, as well as a lot of other people out there really appreciate you for your podcast and all you do. It really does bring us together, whether we're worlds apart or a couple miles down the road. It really does feel more like a community, especially during these times when we all feel so far apart with this quarantine. You make us feel like we're literally right next door, so thank you. For those of you that don't know, which is pretty much fucking all of you, my name is Chris. I play guitar in Introspect and also played guitar for a brief spat of years in Leftover Crack. Joey, I wanted to let you know that for the time being, we are holding up just fine. I was laid off a couple of days ago, so you know, of course, as hard as that is, I know there are a lot of other people that have it a lot worse. So I've somewhat prepared for this moment, and I'm going to be okay for what I can tell. We are in Orange County, California. It's hard to tell what everything out there is like other than what you hear or read. Personally, we stay the fuck indoors. We don't go outside unless we absolutely have to, and we're talking, you know, either the place is on fire or you got to take out the garbage. Other than that, I mean, I've got enough anxiety as it is. I've got asthma, and I know if I get this thing, it's probably not worth the roll of the dice to see how it goes for me. I would not take that chance. I don't want to. When it comes down to the virus versus the economy or the emergency versus the recovery, well, you've got the lieutenant governor of Texas saying the grandparents, the boomers are willing to die for the Dow in order for their children and grandchildren to enjoy America. Okay, well, you want to be the first to take that plunge into the tar pits on their behalf, because I would gladly like you to be the first to wave that flag and say, I did it for the Dow, and, you know, we'll all hold a parade for you. Other than that, I mean, at this point, let the fucker burn, man. I mean, the idea of rushing everyone back to work for normalcy, this is Trump's ego plan, is to just have a roaring economy by Easter, and he wants to see those pews filled with people, because nothing more glorious than seeing Easter Sunday with pews full of people getting others contaminated. Don't you know that God will cure them all? He'll cure them all just for the economy. Come on. In terms of what our communities can do now, it's just looking out for each other. It's fucking common sense. Be mindful of yourself. Be mindful of others. Don't hoard what you do have. Be ready to share it. And if you do need anything, don't be afraid to ask. There are a lot of people out there, believe it or not, are not fucking assholes. And again, I'm not a pandemics expert, nor am I an economics major. That's just my fucking hot take. That's all I know. Just be fucking nice. What we miss most about the days before quarantine? Definitely not the places or the buildings, but more or less the people and the experiences that we used to have with each other. It seems so long ago. I was thinking about it the other day where, you know, it was kind of more of a social event to go out grocery shopping for things. That was like kind of our day out. And after that, we just enjoy our time in, because that's what we do. But I get it. There's, you know, the world's kind of stopped in a way, and it's maddening knowing that your routine has been interrupted and there's almost no one in sight. It's got a nightmare quality to it. But at the same time, it's a way to reevaluate the things that you used to take for granted. And going forward, when the, you know, when this does come to an end, and I don't mean civilization, although wouldn't that be nice, when this all nightmare scenario ends, I think there will be a renewed sense, at least for those of us that are taking it seriously, a renewed sense of purpose for what we can do better about ourselves and the rest of the world. Now, regarding the ideological, political, or philosophical impacts or issues that others might be rethinking or thinking about for the first time, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are wanting Biden to win are all of a sudden going, you know what, maybe the free healthcare isn't such a bad thing after all. Huh. Meanwhile, their loved ones are, you know, going bankrupt or being denied coverage for such ailments. But aside from that, it should be an awakening of things that a lot of people take for granted. And I, you know, a lot of us have it all the time with things we experience. But I think this is a great equalizer, not in a way that Madonna says it is, and her fucking ass in a bathtub in milk with rose petals or some shit. So never in my life have I ever wanted to hold someone's head below water for an extended period of time until they stop flailing. But maybe it's, you know, it's not that I want her life shortened. I just want what's left of her life to be given to those more deserving of it, maybe? I don't know. Maybe I'm just being spicy. But perhaps this should be a big reevaluation of the way we care about each other. on the systems and constructs that we have in place, because at the end of the day, a virus doesn't care about your constructs. All it cares about is death and destruction of living tissue. It doesn't go, well, that's a socialist, and that's a Democrat, and that's a Republican. I'm going to go for that one first. It doesn't give a fuck. At the end of the day, we're all human. It's going to take us out equally. It's just a matter of time. And for that reason, it's literally just reinforced everything that I believed in the past, and that's humans are the virus.
God damn it, Chris. We're going to reflect on what Chris had to say, but I am going to ignore that last fucking comment he made. This is why we need a fucking interview during this shit. This is why it's really annoying that my technological abilities and my gear are so subpar that we can't be conducting interviews in these moments, because I can't disagree with this motherfucker when he says a comment like humans are the virus after all the other things that he said, when he clearly just said that to piss me off. So, mission accomplished, Chris. You have enraged me. Thank you very much. We are going to focus on everything else you said in your commentary. And I do appreciate you getting me this commentary. I do appreciate the quality of sound production that you put into this. In fact, actually, it's kind of annoying, the quality of sound production. Again, like echoing the fact that, or reminding people the fact that my gear is so subpar in this moment of crisis, and Chris has all this fucking fancy, wonderful gear, and he's brilliant at using it. Congratulations, Chris. You've made me look like a fucking asshole again. Anyway, ignoring all that shit and ignoring that last fucking comment you made, I do think Chris had a lot of really insightful and thoughtful things to say. Firstly, I'm proud that Chris is putting forward the idea of politicians offering themselves and their spots on ventilators for the sake of others. I think that's a fucking great idea. I hope that idea really gets some fucking weight to it, because I feel like that's a really good idea. All these politicians are talking about fucking people sacrificing their grandparents and sacrificing themselves to the state of the economy. I feel like we should fucking put that to Rand Paul and all the other politicians are going to get sick from this shit, that they should give up their fucking spot on ventilators for other people and sacrifice themselves for the economy. That's a fucking brilliant idea. I'm really happy that Chris brought up the idea of letting the fucker burn in relationship to the economy. I think that that's important. I think Chris is obviously thinking about these big ticket issues. I think he brought up the reevaluation that we need to make for ourselves in the systems, even though he ended with his comment about people being a virus. I feel like, you know, hearing him talk about this renewed sense of purpose and this big reevaluation that needs to take place, it helped me realize that the thoughts that I'm having are not dissimilar to people who have a similar perspective to me. It helped me realize that my rambling, you know, crazy, insane thoughts about capitalism aren't totally off base. And it helped me realize that I do need to focus more on people, and that not that they're a virus, but rather that they have potential and they're not all assholes, as Chris said, and that they are willing to share and that they're willing to give to other people who they might not even know. And I think ultimately we all need to be taking this reevaluation, this renewed sense of purpose of what we can do in this world, and using that in part to reflect on how we as punks look at people. So while Chris is spending a lot of time like looking at the positive on one side and seeing that people are doing this big reevaluation, their renewed sense of purpose, that people are not being assholes, that they're sharing with people, they're treating people well, and focusing on that, I also think he needs to look at the other side of it and see that, you know, these tongue-in-cheek comments about people being viruses and civilization coming to an end, that actually is very much how a lot of us punks look at things. And maybe while we expect all these other people to be having this big reevaluation of systems and capitalism, things that we understand because we hate capitalism, we think it's defunct and destructive and horrible, and we're excited that they're rethinking those ideas, maybe we need to spend some time reevaluating some basic things that we think as punks, and that people aren't as bad or horrible or stupid or ignorant or shitty or assholes as we sometimes like to think they are. So I know Chris isn't here to continue this conversation. Chris, I want to say to you, I know I picked on some of the ideas you said, and maybe you didn't appreciate that. I'm glad to continue this conversation in this piecemeal fashion if you wanted to make a reply to me and you think I'm a piece of shit for not inviting that before I aired this episode. I am sorry. I am a piece of shit. But too fucking bad. Have me on your fucking podcast, and we can use all the technology in the world to have an actual discussion between each other. But for now, I invite you to burn my house down as soon as possible. I have no problem with that. Please just kill me and put me out of my misery. Or you can re-record something and tell me in words. You can use your words or you can use fire. It's up to you. I don't really mind either way. So Chris, I invite you to please send me your rebuttal to my fucking ignorant interpretation and analysis of your commentary. I apologize for everything I did, but I think I am right. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll air it, or maybe I won't. If it never aired, then Chris probably disagreed with everything I said and thinks I'm brilliant. So there you go. There's that. Let's take a little break here. Let's listen to another tune. Then we're going to get to some commentary from Babette from Montreal, who is in a great band called Union Thugs. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But before that, we're going to listen to a tune from a great band right here in New York City, Perdition, whatever, however you want to say it. This band is, I think, absolutely one of the best bands in New York City right now. Their singer, Lena, is unbelievably talented. Their music is incredible. They're doing a great job. And they put up a recording that I think is fantastic. I think this is the title track from that recording, and I also think it's the best song on that recording. And it's called Bienvenido a Nueva York. It's from Perdición, Perdixion. Check them out. They have a great Bandcamp page with a bunch of great recordings. This is Bienvenido a Nueva York by Perdición here in New York City. Get down. I wanted to talk a little bit about the state and state repression and state oppression and how we're all viewing the state in this situation. Because in crises, people tend to change the way they're looking at state repressive apparatuses, state oppressors, looking at the police, looking at the way governors and presidents use their authorities. As the authorities change, their authority is going to be changing in this situation, and people are going to be, they think there's a real possibility of martial law being declared in some cities. And people, they're not looking at it like they might have prior to this. Like, if the idea of martial law being declared in a city, I don't even know the last time, 92 in Los Angeles in the United States was the last time that I can think martial law was being put in, having tanks roll down the street to try and stop the rebellion that was happening there after the Rodney King video came out and after the verdict in that situation. The state is a repressive system, and people are looking at them a little bit differently right now, looking for a salvation. And I get that. I get that people want help and that state is trying to bring that to them. But I do think we need to take some fucking time to really reflect at how we're viewing the state. The vast majority of people look at the state and they see an apparatus that they think is going to help them in these moments. And while that might be true, maybe the best intentions of the state and the government and the governors at this moment are to help people, I think that there is a danger in viewing the state as the savior who's going to swoop in and protect us all against this virus, and they have our best interests at heart. First of all, they have a whole myriad of laws that are not in our best interests, right? So it's important for us to keep some fucking perspective that a lot of us have had for a very long time about what the state does and thinks about the vast majority of people. They actively work to crush unions. They actively work to stomp people back into harsh, terrible conditions and continue to hold
hold healthcare from them and have for a very long time. And now we're supposed to expect that they're going to swoop in and protect us all and keep us healthy and help us economically get to a better place. These are people who've been fighting for a long time to keep us from having a minimum wage, people who've smashed unions for decades and decades from organizing to protect themselves against big corporations. And the idea that all of a sudden they're going to change their entire outlook and be there for our better economic interests and our own health interests, I just feel like we're fucking losing our minds. Look, I'm not saying that the state can't be something helpful. I just don't think that this state, capitalist state, is something that's going to help us. We need to realize that the state has been racist for a very long time. They fill the prisons with black and brown people. At least here in the United States, the state is actively racist. It's not passively racist. They have laws in place that have filled their fucking prisons with black and brown people. Are you telling me that all of a sudden, because there's a virus out there, the state is going to stop being racist and they're going to stop having police enforce fucked up laws against black people? And all of a sudden, they're going to stop neglecting black communities and all of a sudden swoop in with all the healthcare needs that community has been calling for since the 50s. I mean, it's just crazy to think that the state has poor people and black people in their interests, right? Whether or not there's a virus happening, it's clear that they're not interested in helping poor and black people in this country. Okay. So it's important for us to realize that as the state moves to usurp more and more power, that it's not going to be in the interest of poor and black and brown and Latino people in this country. And that we shouldn't be terrified of that, but we should be conscious of it. And we should be conscious of the fact that the state is going to use every opportunity it has to crush radicals and radical communities in this country and anywhere else in the world. And that's not some conspiracy theory bullshit. That's some actual factual shit that has happened with COINTELPRO in this country and a million other ways. We just shouldn't think that this all of a sudden the state and the repressive apparatus in this country is somehow fundamentally different because there's a virus out there, right? We shouldn't be terrified of all that, but we should just be reflective on the history of this country and the history of the police in this country and the history of laws in this country and in different ways around the world. And we should be concerned, not terrified, but we should be concerned when people are embracing the military and the police with open arms, when they're scared out of their wits and they're begging for more laws and more policing and more state interference in our lives. That doesn't mean that they're all pieces of shit and wrong and morons. It just means that we should be conscious of what they're calling for and how the state is going to use that call and how they might abuse, they're likely, they're likely to abuse that call. Right, we're already seeing some statistical information about how black people in certain states are on the first ones to be killed off by this virus because of neglect. That factual information is already out there. People can go find out. This is not a news source, right? This is an opinion podcast. But people can go out and find that information. That's factual information out there. And we shouldn't be paralyzed by any conspiracy theory bullshit, but we should be fucking conscious, right? And especially about how this government is neglecting those people it's historically neglected, and it's helping those people it's historically helped, the rich, the powerful, the people they value in this country. And we shouldn't think that there's going to be some savior from the government going to be swooping in to protect poor black and brown and Latino communities in this country. It's not going to happen. We don't need to have fantasies. We don't need to have conspiracy theories. We don't need to have overarching ideological understandings of the state and state repressive apparatuses. But we should be a little bit skeptical based on the factual information that we have seen over and over and over again in our own lifetimes about how the state views and brutalizes and murders innocent young black men and jails them up for petty bullshit laws. I just think that it's important for us to really be reflective in these crisis moments about how we're subtly and without consciousness changing our view of the state. There is no salvation. There are no saviors coming. Stop thinking that the state is going to solve all of our problems. Sure, we can hope they are, and maybe we can develop another state that actually will meet all of our needs. But right now, we should be reflective of the fact that these people who run these institutions are racist. Right? These people who run these institutions have been neglectful of whole sections of the world and have relegated people to poverty for centuries. Why, if there's a virus, all of a sudden they're going to care about our economic prosperity and future? It's not going to fucking happen. So we need to don't be paralyzed by the fear. Okay, don't. I'm not trying to get people to obsess about this concept. This is just something I think people need to be thinking about, and I don't see it happening in the mainstream. So in my reflection of this, I thought that I should reach out to Babette from the Union Thugs in Montreal to help get a grip of this idea, because I feel like she's, first of all, she's heavily involved in a great collective in Montreal called Fatale. She runs a venue there called Trackside. For me, I think it's absolutely one of the best places that I've ever played in my entire life. I love it. I think she's a wonderful woman. She's got a great community. And after we listen to her commentary, we're going to talk about actually a police raid that happened at Fatale right after she recorded this. So let's get to it right now. Here is Babette from the Union Thugs and Fatale in Montreal. Get down.
Hey, what's up? So my name is Babette, and I live in Montreal in a huge punk community called the Fatale, and I also run a DIY underground venue at Fatale with other people, and I play accordion in a folk punk band called Union Thugs, and I also do booking and promoting. So the condition right now of the community, it's, well, Fatale, we are all in our own loft, because Fatale is like a big place with maybe 200 loft that a bunch of people live in it. Sometimes more dogs than human, actually. So, yeah, for Trackside, well, right now Trackside is closed. Because the government shut down all the venues, all the restaurants, everything that is not necessary need. And personally, with my band Union Thugs, we were supposed to take a plane in 2 days for Mexico. We had a big tour in Mexico plan that we had to cancel. And in 1 month, we had a tour in Europe that we also had to cancel. So that sucks big time. I would say the anxiety that I'm facing at this moment, it's mainly paying the rent for Trackside, because we are not allowed of any government help. We aren't allowed of money from them, so we seriously have no idea how we're gonna pay the rent. But I know right now there's a huge call for rent strike for April 1st that is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. So let's see how that goes. Maybe we'll have not having a rent to pay in 2 days. So yeah, I'm not concerned at all about the impact on the economy. I know for a fact that the economy will go back up. As to for emergency vs. recovery, I think seriously everyone will be fine. We will go through that all together. And yeah, I'm not that much nervous about the virus, the economy, the recovery. What I'm nervous about, though, it's that it's becoming more and more a police state. Well, I can talk for Quebec province. It's each day they are giving more and more power to the cops. We are not allowed to walk more than two people at the same time. We are not allowed to get together more than two people. That's what I wanted to say. And we are not allowed to leave the house if it's not for necessary need. So, and today they literally, the cops announced on TV that people should snitch. Like if people see more than two people gathering together, well, you should snitch them. That's not how it goes. You don't, first of all, you don't fucking snitch. That's a no-no. And second of all, I think it sucks because literally each day in Quebec, they are giving more and more power to cops proceeding at arrestation. And now it's literally becoming criminal charge if you're going for a walk without going for something specific that is necessary. So it's that it's kind of fucking scary, actually. So yeah, and I think that communities, what they should do now, mainly it's giving food away and giving shelters to homeless people, because yes, we are lucky, we all have a roof, but there's homeless people outside that don't have shelters, nowhere to go, and it's putting them really more at risk. And often we forget about those people that are humans as us. So, yeah. So what I miss the most, it's mainly I miss my band a lot. I miss my venue, Truckside, a lot. I miss my favorite bar, Yermad, and I miss my friends, obviously, and I miss my shows. I miss a lot seeing shows. I'm used to see one show minimum per week since 10 years, and now it's like I have no life anymore. I don't see myself doing anything but being in a show right now. And drinking beers and cheering up with friends. About reflections and issues, what I think about people reflecting on their lives right now, and the first thing it comes to my mind, it's people fighting over toilet paper. This is really fucking ridiculous. There is some media that went in grocery stores asking these people, like, on live, like, why are you buying all that toilet paper? And the same answer over and over from people were, well, I don't know, I'm seeing other people buying toilet paper, so I'm buying toilet paper. So it's giving a good example of what people are reflecting on their lives right now, like toilet paper, really? And now that the toilet paper saga is over, now what it's missing in grocery store here in Quebec are peanut butter and Kraft dinner. It's I don't understand people will go literally fight over toilet paper. And after you're going to see the old person that couldn't run to grab toilet paper, and the old person's going to get to the toilet paper section, and guess what? There's no toilet paper anymore. So I'm seeing that people are really selfish. It's going to think about themselves. It's a good time now to start thinking literally about a revolution, and that the working class is the good people to start it, because hopefully people realize that right now, and actually all the fucking time, each day we literally relay as part of our essential needs, we relay on people that barely makes $15 an hour. So I really think that's gonna change, because this is fucking ridiculous. I think we are living in a superficial world of consumption. We consume unnecessary things over and over and over, and hopefully this will put a reflection in people's head. And on the other end, I really think that people are fooled to believe that they can survive with toilet paper, Kraft dinner, and peanut butter. So me, I always been radical, and that didn't put me more radical. But I'm just there for my community, and I know when all that is over, the punk community, the underground community, the anarchist community of Quebec will really stick together, and we will go back up. And I think it's gonna be a pretty goddamn crazy fucking party. So I think it's gonna be shows nonstop. As far as I'm concerned personally right now, I don't talk about capitalism with people at this moment, because when I'm reaching to my friends, what's happening is we are getting video chat drunk, so we really don't talk about capitalism right now, just fucking missing each other and and getting drunk. So so at the end, I really hope that experience, shitty experience, is gonna make people to have an introspective on themselves and think about the heavy consumption people are always consuming, and yeah, mainly that we rely on people that barely can't afford to pay their rent. So yeah, that's it. Cheers.
All right, first I want to say thank you to Babette for sending this in. I love Union Thugs. I think Trackside is one of the best venues in North America. I think all the work that they're doing at Fatal, the community that they have there is extremely special, especially in North America. And I just adore the punk attitude and people there. It's fantastic. Thank you very much for taking the time to send this to me. And I wish I had the confidence Babette had and knowing how all of this virus stuff will play out. I don't have that confidence, but I do appreciate very dearly what she said about the police state. And I think, you know, like I said, I did not prompt her to talk about it. She is not from the United States of America. She does not share my political outlook. I didn't bring it up, but I knew Babette was the punkest of punks and that she'd be bringing this up on her own. And I'm really excited that she did. First of all, I want to say she was right. Fatal did get raided after this was recorded. I think it was raided the next day this happened. I'm not sure all of the details involved in it, but from what I understand, the police raided Fatal, a place where police are not welcome. They stay out of Fatal. They do not go into this place. And they came in force, kicked in every single door, went into every single home in Fatal. And I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if police people were arrested by the police, but they were definitely keeping track of this community, and they saw this place as a threat, and they wanted to put their foot on the back of the neck of this community, and they did. They went in there. Look, like I said earlier, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do think that there is ample evidence of almost every country on this planet Earth using opportunities like this, using crises like this to put their foot on the back of the necks of radicals. And Fatal is an incredible community of radicals. And as soon as this fucking crisis happened, they're kicking in the doors. I'm not saying that they're trying to spread the virus into that community, but I thought we were supposed to be socially distant, right? We're supposed to be keeping away from each other. And here the police come kicking in the doors of Fatal, bringing who knows what into these places. It's very scary. It's very scary in health perspective, but it's also very scary to know that the police are going to be doing this, that this is a taste of what we can see happening in radical communities, right? We've seen this happen before. This is not some conspiracy theory bullshit. This is exactly what the police do. They clamp down on people who are trying to change society, who are not living by the norms that are supposed to be, that are, you know, the precepts that are set out for us. Fatal is example of that. Days after this is recorded, having nothing to do with this recording, obviously, but days after this is recorded, the doors are kicked in at Fatal. You know, I'm going to ask Babette if she's listening to this, or anybody else at Fatal, if they're listening to this, please send me another video or some more about what happened after all this. I don't know all the details. I just think it's very stark and it's striking to know that this is something they were thinking about, and immediately after this it happened. We all need to be realizing the power of the police in these situations, the power of the state in these situations. They already have tremendous power in our lives. And some people say for the better. Obviously, I don't think that these police are in our interest, but some people still think they do. But either way you cut it, they're going to be given more powers in the relatively near future. And Babette brings up a good point about snitching, right? Because obviously all punks out there, we agree all cops are bastards, ACAB all day. But a lot of people out there who don't agree with our outlook on the police are going to be calling the cops a lot more. And we have to be able to talk to them about not doing that. And it's something they're not even going to get. They're going to think, oh, these police are here to help us. And we want them to be called so that there aren't as many people going into that store. And maybe the police can help enforce these laws so that people can stay healthier. Yeah, maybe that's true. But that's not historically what the police have done. Okay. So it's not just an ideological point on our front. It's a pragmatic point. Look at the history of the police in this country. Look at the prisons and who they're filled with. Look at the history of the police all around the world and what they're used for in crisis moments isn't just to bring help to people. It's also to clamp down on places they want to clamp down on. Look, you got a problem. You call a cop. Now you got two problems. Okay? So just help people understand that they could take care of these problems without calling the police. Help people understand that they could talk to people instead of calling the police on them. I think that we're going to get a lot further if we can get through that. Then I also want to talk about neglect. Because while on one side, police intervention is a terrifying reality for radical communities being broken up in this situation, people who are not fitting into the norm, people who have to face repression at the hands of the police. There's also this reality that people look to the state to help them in these crisis moments. And all too often, the history of the state on poor black, brown, Latino people in this, in many different places, minorities in Quebec, is that they've neglected and allowed to wither. You know, you look at what happened in Katrina, people thought the state was going to come in and help them, but the state used it as an opportunity to allow black people to die, right? That's the reality of how fascism looked in that moment, that they just let them die. And I am terrified, and I'm trying not to let the fear overwhelm me, that in these moments, the state is going to revert to its normal thinking about poor black and brown people. And they're just going to let those communities wither up. And those communities are going to continue to think that the state is going to come in and help them, although they're much more equipped than the rest of society in understanding that state. But I just want to make sure that people out there are thinking about these in this moment, and not just giving all of their power to the state. Anyway, I'm digressing a little bit from what Babette said. So to put a final punctuation mark on that, I think it was Rahm Emanuel in the Obama administration who said, never let a crisis go to waste. And I could see some pretty horrible things happening, and people just need to be keeping track of this, looking at the statistics about who is getting health care and when they're getting it, looking at statistics about how the police are being called and who they're being called on and how they're enforcing the laws and who they're arresting and who they're terrifying if they're not just arresting people. I hope some of this is helping people think about the state. I'd also hope that people aren't getting paranoid about the police too. That is an unhelpful situation as well. Be reflective, be conscious, be considerate about the history of this country and the state, but don't become some paranoid conspiracy theory fuckhead, right? Because that's not helpful. All right. Anyway, again, digression. Sorry about that. But I do want to say this. The Fatal community, my heart goes out to you. Please let us know if there's anything you need. It's an incredible community of punks in Montreal. Absolutely fabulous. I've been doing great, great things there for a very, very long time, and I absolutely adore it. Babette, anybody else there, please holler back at us and let us know if there's anything you need or that you guys are all safe after the police came in. And again, Babette, thank you for this message. So we're going to take another break. We're going to listen to another tune. Here is a tune from Babette's band, Union Thugs. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of this song because my French pronunciation is even more embarrassing than my Spanish pronunciation, which was already pretty abysmal earlier in the episode. So saving my embarrassment, I'm just going to say this is from the Union Thugs. It's a new track that they recorded relatively recently. It's available on their Bandcamp page. I think it's for free. Please go there and give them some money and help them get through this situation that they're in. And Fatal and Trackside. Here is the Union Thugs with a name of a song in French that I am unwilling to try and pronounce. Union Thugs from Montreal. Get down.
peu comme des rats d'avoir osé nous mépriser. Ils ont souri, nous sommes chats. Et notre chat, c'est liberté. Pulé d'être une fois comme dans n'importe quelle histoire. D'un côté, les hommes de droit. De l'autre, les piteuses de la gloire.
Band All Torn Up was supposed to be on tour with the Subhumans right now, but sadly that was canceled along with every other show and tour all over the country and all over the world because of this crisis we're in. So when this all happened, I reached out to Dick Lucas from the Subhumans and Citizen Fish and Culture Shock to see how he was doing and what he was thinking and where his thoughts were in this moment. Dick is one of the most committed and principled punks that I have ever met. I respect him to the nth degree. I couldn't respect him anymore. He doesn't have a facade, right? So like who you see on stage and who you hear in his songs, the ideas you hear in his songs, that's him all the time. And when I've been a fool, I've looked to his words and found some comfort and clarity in what he was thinking and saying and was telling me through his songs. And in this moment, as I got past my petty bullshit and got a hold of my paranoia and started to see things a little more clearly, and I started to fixate on capitalism, maybe a little too much or maybe just enough. I don't know. It's hard to say right now. That's still sort of where my mentality is, and it's hard for me to like fucking move myself out of that thinking. But I started to quickly rush through my head about how this horrible moment could actually be good, how all this suffering could lead people to see that the state is not in our interest, how they could see the status quo was just a failure waiting to happen. Or maybe people could see how when there's a crisis or an emergency, the normal rules of capitalism don't apply, and that those rules are bullshit in the first fucking place, and the markets aren't just invisible hands, but their invisible hands are on our fucking throat. And capitalists can apply those rules when they feel like it and not have to live by those rules at other times, and that we could get people to understand that for most people, every day in this monotony of capitalism, it's an emergency. And that every day for people all around the world, capitalism threatens them, keeps them unstable, keeps them at risk. Maybe when everyone felt this way, we could make a change. I kind of got excited. My mind started racing. I'm like, oh, right, everyone's seeing the emergency. Everyone's seeing how capitalism isn't meeting their needs. Hey, maybe we can start to change things. Maybe people will start to see that they don't need capitalism. This is where my mind was like fucking tunnel visioned. And it really dug into my brain. And I think I lost sight of how truly horrible a time we are in right now. I think for a moment I was happy to see the crisis. Because I feel like for me and for a lot of people, we live in a constant state of crisis where healthcare and paying bills are not a reality. In the future, we have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. And it felt like for a moment, like, oh, all these other people who just seem to have it all figured out or seem to have capitalism working for them, they're like brought down to live like us. I thought it might shake people loose. Maybe the capitalists lose a little bit of their grip. And while the death toll would be horrible in the long run, our lives without capitalism would be better, longer, fulfilling, meaningful. And while I do think part of this is true, I lost sight of the people and I embraced the atrocity. And looking for the positive in the moment, I looked right past people to the bigger picture. But the bigger picture is people. And I, you know, even though I still think it's important for us to be thinking about capitalism, I just feel really dirty for missing all of that. And I just needed to stop and think, what the fuck am I doing? Where were the people? And I was scared and sick, and I mean, not physically sick, not yet, although I'm assuming I'm going to get it in the very near future. And I didn't know how to balance all the things that I was thinking. And obviously, I don't want to lose sight of the miserable world we came from, and we will probably head back to, whether we want to or not, for some sense of stability or whatever. And everyone is praying for a return to normal, but normal was brutality for a lot of people in the world, for the majority of people in the world. And I didn't know how to balance the fact that I'm looking at this situation, this horrible crisis that's happening, and thinking, oh, well, you know what? I really don't give a fuck what's happening right now. Maybe this is going to be an opportunity for us to get to a better place and for the world to be a better place after all this is done. And I was just lost. I was confused and just didn't know which way was up. Mind has been fucking racing. I have lost myself time and time again in this situation. And I was all over the place. And then I heard from Dick Lucas. And I feel like Dick's voice from across the ocean and his thoughts brought me back to the reality of this moment and stopped me from rushing ahead or falling behind. Here we are in this moment with all these other people. So I'm not going to talk more about what Dick is going to say, but, you know, these words, when I heard these words for the first time, when I listened to them, and I've listened to them a few times already now, they really helped me get a grip more than anything else that I've read or done with all these other things that are happening in this world. Dick Lucas's voice just cut through all the bullshit. And I want to say thank you, first of all, for Dick to contribute to this, because that was really thoughtful of him. But also I want to thank him for refusing to answer all of my questions. I sent him a bunch of questions that I was hoping he would talk about, but he cut through all the bullshit. He didn't give me a single answer to a single question I asked him. He just focused on what he thought we needed to be hearing at this moment. And after listening to it about 10 different times, I really feel like he hit the nail on the head, and he will help you hopefully get a grip of what's happening as he helped me. So without further ado, let's listen to Dick Lucas from The Subhumans and Citizen Fish and Culture Shock talk about what's happening in the world right now. Here's Dick Lucas. Get down.
Hello, Joey. Hello, whoever's listening, I guess, or watching, or whatever the case may be. Yes, here we are representing a lone Englishman in his basement with the lockdown going on. There's a lot to say about this, but I'm going to go for something positive to start with, if not to finish with, because thinking up has always been a good cure for feeling down. There was instigated on the social networks of this world the other night an idea of raising a cheer for the carers, the people who work for the health service. And I'm not sure if this was just local, as in terms like the UK, or whether it actually went a bit global. I haven't done research into that, and but not knowing doesn't matter for that instance. The thing is, at 8 o'clock, we were sat here not expecting anything to happen much, really. You know, it was fairly quiet. Peace. Everyone wanted peace. And now we've got something, except with the wars are still going on. But I digress. It's a pastime. Suddenly all these cheers were going up, 8 o'clock. So we go outside and listen in, and like the city of Bath, where we live, the city is abuzz with all this cheering and clapping, like local and in the distance. And some fireworks were going off, and we didn't know about this cheering for the carers thing, which is pretty damn awesome in itself. So we were just like, wow, something's happened. Or we'd probably heard of something massive like it happened, like suddenly what, the virus has just given up. It's all over, folks. You can all come out of your houses. No, it wasn't that, but we didn't know what it was. It was just maybe just like people expressing a need to get loud to and go public and shout, and just it caught on. I thought, wow, awesome. Anyway, next night we rang Silas, because it's been ringing round people doing this FaceTime thing, because you don't see many people when you're locked down. He told that at that moment in time, at 8 o'clock, he was, bit of background, he was similarly unaware of this cheering for the carers idea. He was cycling back from getting a couple of cans of cider from the local shop along one of these large massive streets that you get in Bath, and there was like no traffic And at 8 o'clock at night, when all this cheering started up, he was cycling down this street. All these people were leaning out of these flats in this massive street, started to cheer and clap. And he was just like, whoa, what, hey, this is weird. This is all right, isn't it? I've been cheered on. And he was a bit confused, but quite happy about it. It's just like, mega, what a sight. What a space to be in. Being clapped as you're cycling down the street for like no reason. Wicked. So I wrote a song about it. Now, the other day, I tried putting it to a piano, but tune. But it's really difficult to sing and play piano at the same time if you haven't learned the words, which I haven't. So I'm going to read them out because they now make sense, because I've just told you what I did. At 8 p.m, a cheer went up across the silent towns for all the carers staying up to keep the virus down. Introducing our friend Silas. It's the only name that rhymes with virus apart from Cyrus with a C. But does your name rhyme with a disease? Well, this is fun. I can't think of one apart from Ash and his nettle rash and Giles and Stu with their piles and flu. There's probably loads, but we're going off track. So Silas was cycling in this silence of late on a large empty road when the clocks all turned 8 and the windows and voices all open to cheer for the carers. As Silas thought, what, this is weird. There he was biking to a round of applause. What's not to like about that? I can't even read. Hang on. What's not to like about that? Hooray, when everything else is all flat today, when nothing is normal, it's nice to hear that not all that happens is laced with fear. Try looking up when you're down, okay? And phone up your friends, because they ain't gone away. Too right. You got to think positive. On another positive note, C. I like a bit of C. Sort of wet, maybe. Bit fishy, yeah. And neither wet nor fishy have become regular compliments in this language of ours. I think we should do something about that. Still, whatever this bloke is there, you know, mate, you look a bit wet, a bit fishy, and he sort of hit me in the head and I fell down, so it's never going to happen again. However, see? Serious stuff. Creativity, that's it, yes. But if you haven't got a piano, go out. Bye. Well, you can't go out. Oh, shit. Only for necessary enterprises, missions. Mission on. Go down the local. Shit, there's no shops open that sell brushes. Okay, I was going to suggest you start painting, because painting's a really good thing. I like it a lot, so I'm going to recommend it, obviously. So forget the buying the brushes stuff. You haven't got it already. Look around the house, find what you have got. Whatever you do for a hobby, then get really into it. The internet's still up and running. Go and find out some stuff about what you think you might be good at. Practice stuff. Sing out loud. If you can't find anything else to work with, you've got your voice. Basically, have as much fun as you can on your own, if you are on your own, with your partner, if whatever situation you're in, do what you can with it, because we have to get creative with the now limited amount of space we've got. Read the books you haven't read and been sitting there for ages. Make all the phone calls you just never do because you're bound to bump into people now and again, right? But you might not bump into anyone for the next 5 weeks or whatever it's going to be. So do phone a friend. You could even get experimental. Get the phone book out, if there was such a thing still exists as a phone book. But, you know, get the phone internet out or whatever the fuck it's called and ring random people. That might not be as much fun or, you know, relaxing. But basically, or scratching. I don't know. That's that. Everyone be as positive as they can. And see you later. Cheers.
Here we are. Let's get a grip of just who we really are. Create. Be with each other. Think about each other. I know a lot of punks out there, we get cynical, we get kind of jaded, and we're going to talk a lot about that on some other episodes to come. And I just think that we look at what's happening with people, you know, getting on quarantine calls or being on house party or even just cheering on the medical professionals in our communities. And we looked at it as kind of cheesy and bullshit. And like, what does that really mean? These people don't really care about community. We're better than that. We have a real community. That might be true. But what we're missing in all this is that those people are really appreciating their community more so than they did before. They're cheering medical staff. They're saying thank you to like people who work in grocery stores for the first time, people who we thought that they always overlooked, but a lot of people who are in our community, people who, you know, work in grocery stores or delivery people, or people who are in, you know, different custodial working jobs, that's a lot of people in our community. And we get jaded and cynical because they're finally being appreciated. I just think it's kind of silly. I get it too, because we're sort of like jealous of the fact that they're finally catching up to what we think. But we should appreciate that. Don't get jaded and cynical about it. Like, hell yeah, you're fucking finally getting it. Those people are amazing. We should be cheering them. They are keeping us alive. And I just think because we're thinking about what we were and what they weren't, or because we're hopeful of what we'll become or what they'll become, we're missing this moment. And I think Dick Lucas's words talking about creating and thinking about the people around us in this moment, they cut through everything else. Just, you can rush ahead in some of your thinking. You can think about the future and the past. Just don't lose track of where we are and where the people are. And that's really what I took away from what Dick Lucas was saying. And I needed to hear it. I bet some of you did. I hope this roller coaster I've taken you on in this episode, I know it's been kind of long, but I feel like it's been necessary. But I really feel like this has been necessary to walk through sort of what I think are, at least for me, they were the different stages I've gone through and my thinking and my reflections through this process. And I wanted to show people that even though I feel like I'm pretty conscious and pretty reflective, I've made just an endless number of mistakes and feel terrible and just really stupid about how I've thought about some things. And I embrace that. I accept that. I acknowledge that. And I'm just trying to get my mind right for the future and for the moment that we're in, because, you know, I feel like we're all just thinking a lot. And for maybe some people, it's the first time they've had a chance to just sit still and think for a very long time. And I want to just say it's okay that you thought some of the thoughts you did, even though they might not have been the healthiest thoughts you've ever thought or the thoughts that you really want to be thinking. Certainly, I feel that about my thoughts. But we can focus our thoughts, we can talk and listen to the people around us, and we can start to appreciate this moment we're in and start to collect our thoughts in a way that are going to help us right here, right now, and in the future that we're headed toward, that we're inevitably moving toward very, very quickly. So get a grip, everybody. This future is coming at us, whether we want it or not, whether we understand it or not. It's pummeling toward us. And yeah, we need to understand it. Maybe we try to steer it where we think it needs to go. But the way we get a hold of that steering wheel is by understanding the moment that we're in, by appreciating, listening to the people around us, and being with the people as much as possible. Not physically with the people, because we should be socially distancing ourselves, although that term is a little bit ridiculous. We should be physically distancing ourselves from everybody, but we should be socially trying to understand as much as we can, trying to appreciate people as much as possible. I think that that's the main thing we need to be taking out from all this. Be reflective, think about the future, know who you are, know where you're coming from, know where you want to go, but know where we're at right now more than anything else. And I think that that's the message we need to be taking from this episode. There's a ton of stuff we need to be talking about still. We're going to be doing more episodes in the very near future. I'm going to try to do one a week, probably not this fucking long, but I'm going to be trying to do more episodes. I have just a million other things that I want to be talking about right now. Please, if you dug what we're doing on this podcast, please send us your thoughts as well. I'm not going to be able to air every single thing people send me, but I'm going to try to get on as many as possible. We're going to try to get some reflection going. We're going to try to get a hold of our thinking and our thoughts and appreciating people's perspectives as much as they might disagree with mine. So please send us those thoughts. You can send them to dftunderground@gmail.com. That's dftunderground@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on social media. I'm on Facebook. You can look for Dispatches from the Underground. Or I'm on Instagram. You can hit up Joey Steele. That's Steele like the metal. NYC, Joey Steele NYC on Instagram. There's a bunch of different ways to get a hold of us. Please just do everything you can to get a hold of us. If you dug this episode, if you think that there was something valuable to listen to in this episode, if you appreciated this roller coaster of thoughts and how we got a hold of ourselves throughout this process, please share this episode. I know that there's not a lot of money for people to be donating. I know people are in a pretty precarious situation economically and financially. We do have a donation button on our website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. If people do have money and they do appreciate the the things we're doing on this podcast, please think about giving a donation. Go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. That money goes right to us and helps us support this show. And it would be great if we could get a bunch of donations, a bunch of people just putting in $5 or $10 or whatever they can. We do have some supporters of the show, Lauren, Gabe, Casey, G-Fresh, who have been helping make the material on this podcast and making this podcast happen. And we are able to like at least make this not financially completely irresponsible because of the work of these folks, but I appreciate if other people could contribute and we could maybe even do some improvements to it. That would mean a great deal. If you aren't in a position to be making donations, you can go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com and get yourself some merch from our merch store. There's a merch section on our website. If you buy merch there, a little bit of that money helps us get a hold of what we need to be doing financially, and you get some fucking gear to wear that hopefully you want from some fucking sick band. So go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com, check out the merch section, check out all the other archives and the other free shit we have on the page. Share this shit as much as you can, and talk to the people around you, everybody. I know this is a really disconcerting moment that we're in. I know this is a really depressing, confusing, chaotic time. I hope this podcast has helped you get a little bit of a grip on what's happening to ourselves and what's happening in our brains and in our society. And it certainly has helped me. I hope it has helped you. I want to say thanks to everybody who continues to listen and support Dispatch from the Underground. I also want to say thanks to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com, who airs Dispatches from the Underground every Wednesday night on their radio show. You can check them out. They have a bunch of great programming. They got a bunch of tunes. So make sure you go check out realpunkradio.com. I also want to say thanks to everybody who's been hollering at me about this show and who's been doing recordings, who I haven't gotten to put on this episode. I will get you on an episode in the very near future. I also want to say thanks to all the people who've asked me for some suggestions about things that they should be doing. Obviously, there's a lot of needs in our communities in different ways. It's important that we remember through all this that we have to remain healthy. We're not going to be able to help anybody else out if we're not healthy. And even if we're healthy, we still might have COVID-19 and we might be passing it on from one person to the next. So the most important thing right now is to make sure you're healthy. And until you get tested, I don't really know what is responsible to be doing. I think there are some ways you can be helping remotely. I think there are some people who need deliveries. And if you can assure that you're healthy enough to be doing that, I think it's a good idea for you to volunteer to help those organizations. There's a lot of solidarity groups who are doing work, you know, delivering food to people in need, who are doing work delivering products and materials and food to the elderly who are at most risk right now. So, you know, I can put you in touch with some folks if you want to send me a message at DFT Underground. I can try to find some folks in your communities through our network that can figure out where you can go. I would like to give an extra special shout out to people who can be helping women's shelters in this moment. There's a ton of domestic abusers out there. Just an absolute, it's been on the rise for a long time. We've talked about it on Dispatches from the Underground before, but there are a lot of women and children who are stuck quarantined with their abusers in their home right now. So if there's any way for you to help women's shelter in your area, please contact them. Here in New York City, we have an incredible women's shelter called Urban Resources Institute, URI. I want to encourage anybody in the New York area to please get in touch with URI and see if there's any way you can be helping them in this very near future. I'm sure financially is a big way, and I'm not sure how they've been dealing with quarantining people in these shelter situations, but I'm sure the need for shelter is just out of control. So please get in touch with any women's shelters in your area. I'm sure they're in desperate need right now. And the situation with domestic violence has been terrible in this country for a very long time. But, you know, work and school was a place for some people to escape from the daily horrors of domestic abuse situations. And those are gone right now. So it's terrifying to think about. But that's definitely a huge need in a lot of communities. So please check that out. You know, through all of this, don't get lost in your anger. Don't get lost in your anger. Don't get lost in your thoughts. Don't get lost in the struggle for the future. The future is going to be coming whether we want it to or not. Just make sure you get a grip. You know, don't get lost in our desire to move past capitalism. Don't get lost in anything. Just be with the people and appreciate them and treat them with respect and treat yourself with respect and be healthy. We're going to end this episode with another tune. We're going to get you another episode as soon as possible. And this last song we're going to listen to is from the Subhumans. It's from their new record, Crisis Point. It's called Thought Is Free. So here's the Subhumans. Get down.
Sentence those who write, delete the online versions of opinions they don't like, contain the contradictions that open people's minds, illegalize the actions that follow close behind. They can put chains on your body, persecute your soul, ridicule your attitudes but never get control. A basic intuition, individuality, you can put a price.